This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, I'm trying to get crumb.
All right, welcome back in. It is a Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. Joining me now, Buffs Insider from Buff Zone, Brian Howe, big one tonight. This is the game of the week. I mean, of all the teams that we talk about and discuss, certainly this is the best one on the radar, and I think it's going to be a really good game. Hopefully much better than the Wyoming game last. That was just rough. That made my eyes hurt. Brian, tell me tonight is going to be better than that Wyoming-Akron game.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be better than that. And I will say, if you would have told me 3 years ago that I would know the lyrics of that song you were playing, because I've heard it so often, I would have said, you're crazy. But yeah.
Is that still Coach Prime's theme song? Has he changed it up, or is that still the one?
I think it's still the one, because when they did the kickoff luncheon a couple weeks ago and the team came in, that's what they were playing. So I think that's the one.
I like it. All right, man. How do you think this game's going down? Georgia Tech is a 4-point favorite tonight in Boulder. Everything that I read on why they're picking Georgia Tech or giving them the 4-point or favoring them by four is more so they know what Georgia Tech is. Nobody really knows, save for you, Brian. Nobody really knows what Colorado is at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of projections, right?
Brian, I think we're losing you, man. Michael, why don't you try? I don't know. Unplug it, plug it back in. See if you can get it. We're losing Brian there. We don't want to miss out what he has to say about this game tonight, because this is my game of the week. This is the one I circled over all of them. You know, for us, we cover six. The college teams we talk about on this show, also the Denver Broncos, but of the five games that we have, this is the one I circled. And it's mainly because I do think, like, the 4-point spread, go with the Buffs or go with Georgia Tech. I think either way you want to slice that, I think this game's going to come down to the wire. And it's going to tell us a little bit more about this Colorado team and how they do without their legends, guys they retired, jersey numbers they retired, and Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. So how's that going to look? But the thing on the Georgia Tech side of things is, they got a good quarterback. They got a really good running back in Jamal Haynes. And then that quarterback is Haynes King. And that was cool. I kind of forgot about that. But Haynes played for Texas A&M and got hurt. But they beat the Colorado Buffaloes under Carl Durrell. Having issues getting a hold of Brian? Darn it. Okay. He must be in a cave somewhere. But this game to me is... I know week one, it's easy to just say, don't panic, it's just week one, all that. I do think that seriously, this team that wins tonight goes on a different trajectory overall. And that's where I'll be fascinated to see who comes out on top. Still going back and forth with it. I don't have my picks finalized, Mike. I've got an idea of where I'm going, but I'm not 100% sure on everything. So we'll see. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. So when we did get Brian, he's calling back. We got him. Mike is on the phone with him. They're talking. Lips are moving. His hands are working quickly. He's giving me the thumbs up, and we got Brian back. Brian, we lost you, brother. I'm sorry, my friend.
Yeah, sorry about that. Can you hear me better?
I think so. I think we got you.
Yeah. I think you were asking me, you know, why people like Georgia Tech a little bit more.
Sure. Right?
And I think it's because of the knowns, right? And, you know, both these teams are, they've got 30-year coaches, but I think CU's changing a lot in year three. And I think Georgia Tech is the same program. Brent Key's got the same, you know, offense, and, you know, he's got the same quarterback, 30-year starter quarterback. And so I think that's why there's a little bit more of that confidence in Georgia Tech.
Well, this Haynes King, I forgot about that, Brian, but he was with Texas A&M when they played Carl Durrell's Buffaloes. This guy's been in college football for a while. He's like 97 years old.
Yeah, I think he's only 95. But he's a six-year senior, and, yeah, he made that start, that game at Empower Field back in 2021, and then got injured, I think, on the second series, and that was a season-ending injury for him. Wound up at Georgia Tech, and he's really thrived there. And he and Caden Salter are similar. They're kind of underrated quarterbacks and dual-threat guys that are a little bit more dangerous than people give them credit for.
Yeah, I don't you expect both quarterbacks to be running around quite a bit tonight? That's why I think it's going to be an exciting game.
Yeah, definitely. I think you mentioned Wyoming. This is not going to be 10-0 tonight. Both quarterbacks are very talented. I think they're the keys to both of their teams. And obviously the defenses have got to play well, and there's all these other factors. But it's the quarterback play to me. Which quarterback plays better?
Talk about the offensive line too, because we've discussed it. It's a lot bigger, a bunch of new guys. You got Jordan Seaton, and I wouldn't be shocked if he just absolutely tears it up this year. I mean, he was solid last year, even though the line was bad. He was kind of a bright spot there. Talk to us about what you expect to see from a lot of these new starting faces.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be much better. I mean, Xavier Hill was first team all conference guard at Memphis last year. He comes in here. He's playing right next to Jordan Seaton. Darian McGill has got 4 years of experience at center, even though it was at, group of five level. He's still got experience. Zy Chrysler was two-time honorable mention All Big 12 at Illinois. And then you got Larry Johnson, who didn't play a lot at Tennessee, but he's a massive guy over at right tackle. So they're so much bigger. I think it's a determined group. I think it's going to look way different than it has the last 2 years, I think.
Coach Prime is talking about the roster, and he's saying things like, hey, we feel like this is the best roster we've had. And that's saying something, because, again, so much of this was about, there were some good players for the Buffs, no question. You can't win nine games if it's just two dudes, but essentially three dudes. If you look at Travis Hunter playing both ways, losing guys like that is so difficult. Coach Prime's pretty high on the overall look on this roster. Maybe there's not a lot of giant standouts, but they're deeper and they're just better from position A through Z.
Yeah, and I have a hard time thinking that they're going to be better than last year when you lose the Heisman Trophy winner and Shadur. But I see what he's saying, and that this offensive line, I think if it takes the dramatic step we think it could, then, yeah, you can be just as good on offense. And they're still loaded at receiver, even though it's a new crop of guys. And defensively, there's a lot more back than what people might think because you lose a bunch of starters. But, Carter Stoutmeyer played a ton last year. And DJ McKinney is preseason All Big 12 at corner. You got some defensive linemen that are back. Arden Walker from Cherry Creek High School didn't start much last year, but he's a stud and had a really big year last year. And they brought in guys that were starters at other places. And, Martavius French, that linebacker, was 10th in the country in tackles for loss last year. So they've got guys that have done it at other schools, just not in Colorado.
Don't you feel like this game, and I know it's game one, so whatever happens, we're all going to freak out. If CU wins or even rolls Georgia Tech, it's going to be like, hey, this is going to be a world beater. If they lose to Georgia Tech, you're going to have your panic button pressers. But I do get this sense that, for the Buffs, if you beat, because I think Georgia Tech's a pretty good football team. They had a lot of injuries last year, including to their quarterback and their running back. If you beat Georgia Tech, Delaware at Houston, Wyoming, BYU's more interesting now or less interesting now with that quarterback situation. I think there's a realistic chance you could be looking at 6-0, maybe even 7-0 going into before you go take on Iowa State on October 11th.
Yeah, I think there's a real chance. If you win tonight, there's a real chance of having a really, really strong start and setting this up for a really special year. If you lose it, I don't think that it really means they're going to have a bad season, especially how it looks. I mean, if they get blown out, I think there's going to be some concern. If they lose a close one, it's really disappointing, but you can probably say there's a lot of good things you can look at. So it depends on how it looks, but I think a victory sets them up for what could be a really good year.
Yeah, 100% agree. Brian, give me a couple names that we're not talking about as much that you think might make an impact, not just tonight, but throughout the regular season.
Yeah, a lot of people know some of the receivers like Omarion and Draylon Miller. Sincere Brown is a guy that I think could be a big time player for the Buffs. He had over 1,000 yards receiving at Campbell last year. Was formerly teammates with Jimmy Horn and Xavier Weaver at South Florida, so he could have a big year defensively. You know, there's some defensive linemen that are really going to shine, I think, this year. And you know, Anquan Barnes is one that had a huge offseason. And you know, Warren Sapp talked about the kid was 340 pounds in the spring. Sapp said, "You better be under 315 or you're not playing for me." And he came into fall camp at 305 and was kind of dominating. And then another kid, redshirt freshman Brandon Davis Swain, was injured early in camp, and all of a sudden, the last 2 weeks, he's running with the first team on defensive line and making plays. So kind of watch for number 91 tonight on that defensive line.
Number 91, I'm circling it right now. Was it kind of a shocker that it took as long as it did for Coach Prime to name Caden Salter as the starting quarterback?
No, I think that's just his way. I was actually more surprised that he did name him on Tuesday. I thought for sure he would just take it into Friday. We were all kind of joking before the presser started, like, well, what percent chances he name a starter? And we're all kind of 20, 10. One of the guys said 0.0. And then within the first 2 minutes, I'm not surprised. It's just Coach Prime's way. I mean, there was no need to really name him. But if you watch well off throughout the month, it was pretty obvious it was Caden Salter. So it didn't surprise me that it was Caden.
So, Coach, he knew it was going to be Salter. He was just waiting to make that announcement.
Yeah, and it was funny how he said it. He goes, "I don't know why you guys were all wondering who it's going to be." And like, well, because every time you had the podium, you put both of them up there and said it's a real competition. That's why.
Well, yeah, that's everything I was reading and looking into what you guys have been putting out. You know, that was kind of my thought process was, all right, yeah, maybe Julian Lewis can take over this job and you go there. But we also talked about Caden transferring here and probably doesn't transfer here if he doesn't have a pretty good idea that he's going to be the guy.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, he knew he had to compete for it, was never fazed about Julian Lewis being here, and super confident guy. I'm actually here in a little bit. I mean, post a big feature story on Caden Salter. I talked to his mom for a little while yesterday and learned quite a bit about him. Interesting story for Caden Salter, and just a quiet, confident young man that I think could be in for a really big year.
Yeah, I'll be curious. You're releasing that later today. I got to check that out because I definitely want to learn more about this dude.
That'll be up before the game.
Okay, awesome. Great pregame reading for you. How's this one going down? Georgia Tech, a 4-point favorite. In your mind, Brian, do the Buffs? It's not really an upset. It almost feels like a pick'em game to me, honestly. How do you think this one plays out?
I think the Buffs win it. I think it's going to be a really close game. It's going to be a really good, entertaining football game. Again, not like the Wyoming game last night. I think it's going to be not super high scoring, but I'm going to go 27-24 Buffs. There's going to be some things they got to work on after this, but I think after this game, you'll say, wow, okay, the Buffs have got something here.
Well, we'll see, man. I'm looking forward to, like I said, this is the game of the week. This is the one we have circled. Just kind of cross-reference, cross-point, whatever, when we were debating the Heisman last year between Travis Hunter and Ashton Jeanty, boy, last night, I don't know if you caught that Boise State Broncos game. They looked okay in that first quarter, and then everything just went to hell in a handbasket, and they just looked awful without their stud running back. So you hope that's not the case for CU tonight.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I didn't watch the game, but you know, obviously seeing the score and everything, Boise was always pretty good. They've always been good, right?
Right.
Even before Ashton Jeanty. So I'm sure somebody looked it up. But I don't know the last time Boise got beat up quite like that, especially by South Florida. You know, that was kind of interesting. But I bet they're still better than that, but that was kind of alarming.
No, the first drive, and they ended up turning it over, but the first drive, I thought, and then they got two big defensive stops in a row. It didn't look like South Florida was going to do anything. And then I stopped watching. That's what happened. I was watching the first quarter, and then I went away, and it was a blowout. That's probably, you know, what it took.
Yeah, I wound up watching Delaware versus Delaware State and also Nebraska last night.
Yeah, Nebraska. What did you make of Nebraska pulling it out at the end? It looked a little dicey there for a moment, but they come up with the pick and end that thing. Is Nebraska going to be anything this year?
Yeah, I have a hard time saying that.
I don't feel it. I don't feel it.
I don't feel it. I mean, how many years have we been told Nebraska's back and then they're just not very good?
Yeah.
You know, I think they'll be fine. I think they're probably a, you know, a 7-win team, something like that. I mean, that's what I think the Buffs are going to be. But I don't think Nebraska is going to be special. I mean, that was not a great throw by Cincinnati at the end. You know, I thought they should have been a little bit more conservative and gone into overtime and, you know, played for that, if nothing else. But, yeah, I mean, Nebraska, I mean, they had to fight for it.
Brian, no, go ahead, man. Sorry.
I said give them credit. I mean, they fought for it and they got it done. But I don't see them as like a 9 or 10 win team that's going to compete.
Do you know the details on, like, for Cincinnati, that would have been a home game, but they played at Arrowhead. I'm guessing there's a lot of money involved that they got to basically say we're not going to start our season off at home.
Yeah, I'm not sure the money details. That usually there's a few mil involved in that. They got to make it financially worth it to leave your stadium, right?
Plus, you know, Patrick Mahomes got to watch his twin in action, so in person, so it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird situation.
Yeah, it is. Brian, my man, all right, so you like the Buffs tonight. Let's see what happens. Big one coming up tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Brian, we'll be looking out for that Caden Salter story and more pregame stuff from you at Buff Zone.
You bet. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Brian Howell, he's our Buffs insider. He'll be on with us every Friday. Hey, Mike, here's a question for you. Which team loses our interest in about 4 weeks? Because we cover them all. We talk about them all. But let's face it. There's teams that drop off, and they suddenly, you know, we got Rocky Mountain College kickoff coming up at 2 o'clock. Typically, the theme of that show, and even my show, is I'm giving more airtime to the teams that interest me. In week four, who's going to be less, like, the one that kind of fizzles away that we're not talking about as much? Is that Wyoming?
For the sake of the pun, Wyoming's offense was acrid against run.
No,
so
no.
I'm going to say Wyoming.
Over UNC?
I think UNC is going to win at least two games before the halfway point and two games after the halfway point.
Four wins would be pretty big for this program. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but Mike, they haven't done that a whole lot. I mean, three or four is kind of been, 2 to 4 maybe has kind of been the average. What do you say, like 2.5 maybe over the years for the Bears? So getting to four would be pretty huge, I think. But I always like to look at that too. Like, who's going to be, like, which team am I less interested in as the season rolls on?
I'm hoping it's not UNC, because being here for 21 years, they've had, what, 2-3 winning seasons?
Yeah, and they won two games. I'm just going back to, like, 6 years ago. 2019, they won two games. In 2020, they didn't play in 2020, right? Because that was the COVID year, and that was Ed McCaffrey's first year, and they opted out to play any games. In 2021, Ed McCaffrey is the head coach. They won three games. In 2022, still Ed McCaffrey, they won three games. And then 23 was Ed Lamb's first year. They didn't win any games. And then last year they got the one. So, yeah, you're looking at – it was. Weber State was ranked at that point at the FCS
level.
Yeah,
they were like 21 or 22.
Well, look at these games. Like, Incarnate Word, they ended up losing 28-7. But it wasn't as bad as that score looked. They lost 38-17 to Colorado State. Again, not as bad as the score looked. Abilene Christian beat them on a – game-winning field goal. I thought the Bears were going to get the dub. That was like a 50-plus yard field goal that they kicked. Stephen F. Austin was bad. Cal Poly was rough. Montana State was rough. But then, you know, you got the Weber State win. You were somewhat close to Montana. They just kind of, it was like death by 1,000 paper cuts in that game. It was 24-0, but it wasn't like 24 in the first quarter or anything like that. It was still a bad loss. But they scored 10 points in the third quarter. It was 14-0 at the half against Montana. So I think it's going to be a better year. They just got to stay healthy at that quarterback position. 12:41 the time. Mike, we continue on with our Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we got the picks. We're going to lay that out. I'm 1-0 to start the season, and we'll see how far we can keep this undefeated streak going. Guys, who do you like? Colorado or Georgia Tech? I need your help. We're going to craft the pick coming up later on. So let me know what you're thinking. First Advantage text line, is 888-530-0043. 42 after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.